Welcome to the Flyover Ministry Podcast, a practical youth ministry podcast for small church leaders by small church leaders. We are grateful that you have joined us for our journey through ministry-related topics that we hope help equip and encourage you as you serve Jesus wherever you are.
And welcome to the podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jordan.
And we are knee-deep in the hoopla. This is Flyover Ministry. I love seeing you just shaking your head on these. I might keep this up.
Well, maybe not. Someday we're going to rock the cash box. And it'll be good. And I'll be feeling blue. Double-D, double-die.
Oh, man. I will say, like... last couple episodes when you say that's what it's all about, it's like, no, we haven't turned ourselves around, nor have we done the hokey pokey. But I didn't.
Dun.
Cotton Eye Joe. Look at all the references we're just knocking out here. We are moving on to completing and kind of rounding out our series on setting goals and celebrating successes in ministry. And as we do that, in this week's episode, we're going to be looking at specifically kind of what we alluded to at the end of last week's episode, where we are talking about defining success for our families as well, recognizing that it's not just you, it's not just your volunteers, it's not just your students, but I have observed there's no way for you to do youth ministry without involving parents. It's almost as if God designed it that way.
Yeah, and I think it's an overlooked thing to consider just how it's really a partnership, right? We are not the key for parents to have successful ministry to their children, but we are a tool for parents to use in the discipleship of their children. And when we see ourselves as a tool instead of like the destination, it helps us be humble. That's really good. But I think it helps us put ourselves in a better perspective as far as being intentional with the families too. I know for me, it was so easy to ignore families for such a long time. And that really hindered things because my mind wasn't there. I didn't have that broader perspective of what youth ministry was really about in that sense. And so being on the other side of that now and seeing the need for this, it doesn't necessarily answer all my questions of how do I do that effectively, because there's unique challenges too, like where you have the mentality of parents, while you are a tool, they might have the perspective of like, no, you are really the thing that's going to like fix my kid and whatever.
Right. There's definitely an attitude of specialists that's prevalent in our culture, especially in America right now, where I'm not a fan of mathematics. I just was never good at it. I never took to it. And I'm sure the limited amount that I was exposed to geometry, I realized that, like, oh, actually, I do appreciate stuff like logic. And I do appreciate interpreting graphs. But that's why we have like math teachers and tutors. Like, they are a specialist to pick up where parents left off. I don't know how to set a broken bone, but that's why we have medical specialists. I take them to the doctor and when there's an emergency, when they fall off their bikes. There's an attitude that our parents have where they take that and transfer that over to us as ministry professionals and workers at the church, where they say, well, you're the spiritual specialist. You are the one who will help align my kid as best as possible, and whatever they wind up picking up from you, that's going to be enough. And that is obviously not the attitude we want our parents to have. We might specialize in topics, but you're dead on right, Jordan, where we are a resource for parents to use, and it's the partnership, not the end-all answer to every problem that parents have, you know. And we are trying to figure out a way to help partner with the families, not just parents, but the family as a whole, because that is what our church is made up of. It is made up of families. And we want to try and help define success for our families so that we can do what we've been talking about the last few episodes, where we talk about celebrating to get together the accomplishment of these goals that we're setting. As we spend some time in prayer, as we sense how God has been leading us, how do we move forward? What do we see happening? And how can we kind of grab hold of that to help build us to be a stronger, more mature ministry?
And since the reality is that we have this connection with parents and families, that means that we should also be thinking through how do we encourage and talk about success for families as well. Do we have a good picture of what success looks like? Now, this could also be a little bit touchy in the sense that, I think of myself as when I was starting in ministry, unmarried, and here I am telling families with kids that have been like involved in this reality much longer than I have because I had never been there, right? Tell them how to do what they're supposed to be doing, and I didn't have any children, so it's like, what do I have to say about this, right? And now I'm thinking like, okay, so telling people like my younger me to have goals for families, like how realistic is this? But there are these intersections and that we have, again, with ministry and partnership with parents. And we should be thinking for ourselves, how do we do a good job of forming this partnership, of communicating that this is a partnership? But then how do we walk with families, especially if they're asking for help, if they're reaching out and wanting to do that journey together? How do we make this partnership with them happen? So as we think about that, I think it's helpful to do a little assessment, kind of like we started the first week of this month. Just recognize like, okay, what are you bringing to the table here? And what are your limitations? So younger me, who hasn't had any kids, hasn't been involved with marriage from a personal perspective, I am going to have less to offer at the table than someone who's now got a kid who's involved with youth ministry and has been married and, you know, whatever. I have personal connections with these things in a new way that I can see insights of like, okay, yeah, that would have come across really poorly if I was a parent receiving this word from younger me at this time. But so recognizing like, but at the same time, God can still use you to speak into a family's life, even if you don't have, like, so don't disqualify yourself from that. So I don't know. I feel like I'm spinning my wheels, so I'm gonna get you a chance to get some traction here.
I think about ways that you can assess as a leader, what are things that we are doing well? What are things that we have that have been strong in the past? What are things that we've attempted to do in the recent history of our ministry here with students that parents have actually expressed appreciation of, and what can we do to strengthen that? I think for us, one of those feedbacks was doing a college-age care package, and we didn't do that in 2020, in 2021, and we haven't done that recently. We've written letters expressing appreciation. We're letting them know that they're being prayed for. But it wasn't like getting a little box or something like that. But to have our parents realize that, yes, our ministry to students goes beyond just when they graduate high school into when they are entering, you know, adulthood, culturally speaking, when they are out on their own. We don't want them to feel like they're abandoned in culture. Or just at college, that they would know that they're being prayed for and supported by the people from their past, that they have a home congregation that is still loving them, caring on them. And yes, it's like it's a couple of packets of hot chocolate, a box of macaroni, maybe a packet of ramen noodles, a few pens and a notebook or something like that. But to be able to say like, hey, praying for you. Hope you're doing well. Hope that, you are able to utilize some of this stuff, if not barter with your roommate for something or something like that. Okay. So evaluating where you're at, you know, what have you done that people have seen that's, you know, this has gone really well. What is something that you have tried to accomplish and have actually seen, like, actually we saw a lot of growth in this. and to utilize that as a leader, as a leadership team, to be able to say, this is where we're at. And to know where you're at is a good starting point. Going back to the first episode from this month, as you assess where you're at personally, where is your ministry at? And knowing where you're at helps you kind of chart the course forward to know where is it that you want to be. I think back to what you were saying about, I mean, ministry in general, when you weren't married, when you didn't have kids, and pretty easy to just fill the schedule with all sorts of things. I mean, you can just always have something going on, whether that's hanging out with kids or this big event or this outing. And you can sign your people up for a very full schedule without too much effort. And part of evaluating where you're at is to figure out what's realistic for your parents, for your families. What is realistic for your ministry? Thinking especially of fundraisers, right? Why do you have fundraisers? Well, to afford a lot of these events that we're going to. Well, if you're not doing a lot of events, if it's not realistic for your families to go to that many events, you don't have to do that many fundraisers. So that changes a lot of the dynamic of what it is that you're trying to accomplish and why you're doing what you're doing. I think you got to be realistic and to assess not just where your ministry is at, but to see, okay, parents, yes, they're busy, but we have a student ministry here to help these parents with the discipleship of their kids. So it's not like we just forfeit or abandon trying to reach out to parents, period, because, oh, well, they're just too busy. And maybe sometime when they're less busy, then they'll come to us. No, you can't do that, because otherwise you won't do anything. Parents will always be busy. So I think be fair and assess what's realistic for us to ask our parents for. What is realistic with the limited amount of time that they have? How do we make the most of that? So to take some time, and I mean this with all love and respect possible, you can't have that assessment on your own. You have to have other people weigh in. And bringing other people in, they might have different expectations or assessments. They might be completely unrealistic. But that's the point, is that as the body, you are trying to figure out where are we at as a whole to push against each other, but also to come to a general consensus to say, actually, you might find that you're not as far behind as you might have thought. You might find that you're a little further ahead than what a lot of people realized. So to assess where you're at when it comes to reaching out to parents, I think that's a huge step forward in helping partner with them as a resource for them to rely on, but also for them to be a part of as well, because I think a lot of times the volunteers that we recruit are the parents that are dropping their kids off. They're the ones that are going to be helping us out with a lot of this.
So as we kind of look at the idea of defining success for our families from the perspective of, as a leader, if you're going to speak into a family, what kind of things would you highlight as, like, this is, we've talked earlier about defining the win. Do we have the freedom to do that for families? Like, is that kind of imposing our value system onto their family? Or is that kind of an aspect of leadership where we're saying, hey, I just want to let you know, like, something like this is really great and we want to celebrate that. And then B, do we actually, like, try to give them goals, or is that something that's going to be seen as an unwelcomed, I don't know, just insertion in something that's none of our business? You know what I mean? So yeah, how would you tackle those things?
This is part of why you bring other people on board, so that it's not just you asserting your own things, but to be able to talk to parents. Like, we had our youth advisors comprised of a lot of parents from the group, and to have them come and say, actually, no, this is a lot of fundraising. Like, we just can't do this much fundraising. All right, we'll step it back, or we'll do something different with fundraisers where now we're looking at a different perspective, where instead of selling pizzas or calendars or candles or something like that, we're just going to do more fellowship meals after church where the youth are going to pull together. We're going to serve something not complicated, but it's going to be a meal. And we may not raise a lot of money, but you know what? This is important for our church to be a part of. This is something that our parents are already kind of on board with. So I feel like I'm circling the question that you asked, but I how do we do this? I'm trying to reground myself in that question.
It's okay. Can you tell a listener that we have maybe bit off something that is too big for us to chew today?
Well, no, I think we're in a fair territory here.
Yeah. Yeah. So something that I came across, one of the things that I tried to do was I did this through confirmation, but since I'm not doing confirmation this year, I'm exploring what this might look like on a whole year thing with parent meetings. And just simply like have an invitation, you know, do a simple Google form of just some times so they could say, hey, I'll take this slot or whatever. You're smart. You can figure out how to YouTube making options disappear after they're taken, whatever. It's slick. But at some of those meetings, you know, I was able to talk with one family. They're a typical busy family, kids involved with sports or whatever. But one thing they said is like, you know, we've been able to still have meals together like pretty much all the time. And I was like, you know what? That is amazing. Like there's so much, even on a simple thing like having meals together, and not just even church related, but just like the likelihood of your kids being involved with drugs goes way down. Just all these different things of just the core connection of family mealtime together. And so that's really great. There's other times where people have expressed, you know, I really struggle with this. And it's like, okay, so let's, first of all, let me affirm, like, there's stuff that's already happening. You might not be thinking of it in that way, but this is also ministry. Like, the kids are watching you. And let's say that you're struggling with devotions, you know, like, so how might we get a devotional presence in your family? And say, you know what, it's okay that you don't have it every day. Like, that's, where are you at right now? And like, what's a good first step? Maybe say once a week, you know, maybe Sundays, we're going to say, hey, as a family, we're going to start doing this. And it might be awkward and expect it to be awkward. And that's okay because it's something new. You haven't done it before. It's not part of your rhythm. And then maybe say after, you know, a couple months of that, what's maybe doing a second day, like Wednesday, midweek or something like that. And just, you know, walking with them saying like, you know, mm-hmm. where you're at is okay. But there's things that we can do to grow. And it doesn't have to be like an overnight transformation. But just here's some tools. Here's some resources, some good devotionals we could recommend for family that's on the go. They're pretty short. They're pretty concise. But it's still bringing Christ, bringing his word into the conversation at the home. And, you know, we've talked before about all the resources we can hand to families too. Maybe having conversations about like, you know, maybe you're of the side that this is like overwhelming for. Ignore 5 of the 6, but pick one and just give it a look, you know, so that at the end of the day, at the end of the year, as a parent, you have better understanding and more resources at your disposal that you didn't know of before. And in this way, you're growing as a parent. And that's really great.
Yeah.
And as you have those parent meetings too, it's a great opportunity to ask, like, what are your spiritual goals for your kid? Because if we're partnering with the parents and what they're going after, their spiritual goals can really inform us in how we structure our ministry. And it can also reveal, like, to a parent to say, like, I don't know if we've actually sat down and talked about that. And so you have another option to walk through with them. And I think this is really a good picture of that language of partnership. And I don't think that's necessarily inserting yourself. Now, if you said, like, if you sent a letter at the beginning of the year, it's like, okay, here's our ministry plan for families every year or for this year, and this is what you're going to do this month, like, that might be way overreaching because you haven't done that in the context of that relationship. But once right. you have that relationship and you're having those meetings and that dialogue, I think that can be a really great way for you as a leader to invest in and encourage the families. And again, family life is tough. Dan, I don't know, have you ever felt like overwhelmed? Like you've just been a failure as a dad and just like ever?
Not in the last 12 minutes, but
okay, well, good. but yeah, so our parents need that support. And for us to be able to say, you know what? Life is tough. You're doing this okay. Like, you're handling this well. And to be able to celebrate and call out the things that we see and just to cheer them on can be such a life-giving thing for us to do for our congregation.
Yeah. I think allowing parents to partner with each other is a huge dynamic of this, where you are not the only person who can speak life into the lives of your parents and your families. You can allow the whole congregation to do that, and to help shepherd the parents into that is going to reduce the amount of time that you wind up spending, because some parents might just naturally connect with others, and you could grab just a core group of families to say, hey, you're already working on connecting with other adults. Like, how can I help you connect with other families as well? Because the real challenge in this, and it's not just for students, although we do definitely see this with the students in our ministries, is that when we have a wide spectrum of where students are at spiritually, the same thing is going to be with our parents, where some are looking for a little bit more meat on the bones of devotionals, of what they're looking for. There might be some parents that are ready to have difficult conversations with students and with their kids. And they just, other parents are like, I'm not there yet. I want to, but I just don't know how. So to recognize the wide kind of spectrum of where parents are at with spiritual maturity, that does make this really difficult. I think about what Tiger McLuhan had, you know, Tiger's totally unscientific theory of thirds, where you've got and it's not exactly a 33-33-33 breakdown, but you have one group, Group A, we'll call them, where they are just spiritually in tune, they're on fire for the Lord, they are mature, and they're ready to have, they've been having family devotions every day for the last however long they can remember. Group B, they want to have those conversations, but spiritually they are not quite there yet, and they just need a little help and guidance. And Group C are parents that neither have had those conversations, and also they don't necessarily see the need to have those conversations. And I'm trying to remember exactly, and if Tiger McLuhan probably doesn't listen to this podcast, but you are familiar with that as well. I think the theme or the point that he was making behind that is Group A is already at a place where you want to head. Your focus as a leader is Group B, like to be the one that's there helping pull those people. You're kind of in the river, in the water with them, pulling them to a direction that you want to head. So I think having the conversation, like what we were talking about before, like what kind of goals do you have as a family? Maybe those goals are good, but maybe they might be a little askew, which, like, you're heading towards spiritual goals, but those aren't exactly Christian goals. So let's help you refine those goals as well.
And it can even be a good opportunity just to say, like, you know, the benefit of an external perspective of, like, we say these are our goals, but let's look at our calendar. What are these things actually that we're committing to truly saying about what our goals are? You know, an invitation. And, you know, it's not to say, like, poo-poo on sports, get him out of anything. You know, we can talk about, like you said, how do we take sports? Because if your kid is involved with, like, this travel baseball team, we're not going to say you can't do that. But how do we bring Christ into that, right? Mm-hmm. How do you, with your child, if you're going to be gone, like, do you go to a church on the road? How do you find a church when you're out of town? Do you do a little family thing together? How do you make so that you're recognizing as a family that Christ is the center of everything we do? Even though we're doing all sorts of crazy stuff all over, how do we do that? And, you know, again, this again is going to be in the context of relationship, which is so important. I like what you said, too, about families doing this together. Maybe you know family that had somebody who was involved with something but did that really well. And say, hey, you know, let's just sit down with this family over here. Let's hear what they did because, you know, they've got this experience. And you guys seem to be like, you seem to be where they were. And so they're in this different perspective and, you know, maybe they can help you through that. Or, you know, someone, you find a kid who's been struggling with an addiction and somebody else has had a kid who's had an addiction, you know, that can be really good as far as more of a networking thing too. But yeah, any final thoughts from you on this?
No, go forward in prayer.
All right.
Yeah, period. Yeah. There you go.
So there we go. And actually I'm going to take that to heart. We will do that. Let's take some time. Just pray for families and parents before we wrap up. Lord, I want to lift up before you, God, families that we work with. We recognize, God, that you have designed specifically dads to be the spiritual heads of the households, but the parents to really disciple the hearts of their children. And Lord, we recognize there's places that's happening, and we celebrate and we rejoice in that. But Lord, we recognize too that in our brokenness, there's places where that's not the case, whether it's parents just not having a good model to follow themselves, just feeling overwhelmed with all the specialty stuff that comes in, where they're just like, how do I handle this on top of the schedule and getting my kids places and working and the mental health crisis and all this other stuff, God, it could just be so overwhelming. So we pray that you would allow your leaders to have the insight to be blessings to families, God, that we would serve them well. We would have a proper understanding of our place in ministry to the home, and Jesus, that we would reflect your care and compassion in these settings. Give us wisdom as leaders, Lord Jesus, to faithfully serve in the unique context that we're in. Lord, that our families would be blessed, and thinking of just the impact of that on generations to come, the students growing up in a family that's learning how to follow you together, being able then to model that in their families that they start someday down the road too. And we praise you, God, that again, this isn't our work that we do ourselves, but Lord, that we partner with your Spirit through your word, and Lord, that your Spirit transforms lives, changes hearts. So we thank you for that truth. Guide us, Lord God, in your wisdom and your truth. As we look at this year that's coming, help us to have just overall, Lord God, godly goals that will encourage and challenge us to keep us sharp. Lord, that we would make sure that we're celebrating and encouraging those volunteers that we get to work with, Lord, and leading our students well, involving them in the conversation, having those goals and things to attain to, Lord Jesus, the mission that you call us to. May that ever be before us, Lord. And we thank you, God, for this opportunity to serve. What a noble calling that is. And we just thank you for inviting us into that process, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. May you go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks for listening to Flyover Ministry. You can find, follow, and give feedback on our Instagram and Facebook pages at Flyover Ministry. You can also get in contact with us on our Gmail account, flyoverministrypodcast@gmail.com. You can find other episodes that we've recorded on iTunes and Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and please feel free to share them with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.